Now, if you turn again to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and reading once again that portion from last week, beginning at verse 13 of the chapter, reading the blessings of Moses on the tribes, and taking up the reading again at verse 13 down to verse 25. And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullocks, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000s of Manasseh." And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountains. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sun." And of God he said, "Blessed be he that enlargeth God. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel." And of Dan he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan." And of Naphtali he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessings of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south." And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Amen. Over this past number of weeks in the course of our sermons in this book of Deuteronomy, we've been looking at something of the individual blessings which Moses, the servant of the Lord, pronounced over the heads of the tribes of the nation of Israel just before they were to enter into the land of Canaan. Each of the tribes, as we've seen, received a particular word, an individual blessing indeed. But although there is that which is individual and personal in each of the blessings that each of the tribes received, at the same time, there are those things which all the tribes of Israel were going to stand in need of all the coming days that they would inherit that land of old. The blessing of God's sufficiency in all their warfare, you remember, and how all of that is brought before us in the words that Moses speaks concerning the tribe of Reuben and the tribes of Judah and Gad and the tribe of Dan as well. The blessing of God's acceptance in all of their ongoing worship in the land, that which is made so clear in the blessing which Moses pronounces over the head of Levi especially, tribe of Levi especially, which was the priestly tribe, that which was to see to all the worship and the service of the Lord in those coming days. The blessings of abundance and fruitfulness, which very much features in the tribes of Joseph, tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, and in our time together for last week, the blessing of rejoicing as Moses turns his words towards the tribe of Zebulun and the tribe of Issachar as well, in that verse 18 of the chapter. And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents." As we said, not only do these tribes apply in a particular way to each of the individual particular tribes, but the blessings, many of the blessings, extend to all the children of Israel as they will come to live in the land. And they also, of course, extend in a spiritual fullness and in their spiritual fullness to all the Israel of God today, the Church of the Living God, each and every believer in Jesus Christ the Saviour. We have an ongoing warfare, and that warfare will never be fought or any victory won apart from the Lord's sufficiency given to us in that ongoing warfare. There's an ongoing worship and service to the Lord that we are called to, and if ever that worship and service will be acceptable to the Lord, it will be acceptable to the Lord as we do it in the way that the Lord has said. And assuredly, just as the nation of Israel would ever stand in need of the Lord's supply and provision and fruitfulness, and stand in need of blessing and rejoicing in the Lord their God all their days, those blessings which were given to those tribes at that day come to us in their spiritual applications to our hearts and souls. So the blessings are practical. They applied in the particular and in the general. When you look at the nation of Israel, they apply to us, and they do so in a practical fashion, in a basic spiritual fashion, to our hearts and souls all the days of our life. And it's along those lines then that we've gone in the course of our sermons so far. Well, for this morning then, we're going to look at the words that Moses spoke with regards to the tribe of Naphtali, and that comes in verse 23 of the chapter. The tribes of Gad and Dan, which come before the tribes of Naphtali in the order of the verses, we've already referred to with regards to the business of Israel's ongoing warfare that would lie before them. And as you look at these words concerning those two tribes, then it's very much the business of warfare that is brought before us in the words that Moses speaks. At the end of verse 21 of the chapter, where he speaks about the tribe of Gad coming, he says, to execute the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And in those words, he's referring to the fact that although the tribe of Gad has already had its inheritance on that side of the River Jordan on which they now stand, when it comes to the point of crossing over the River Jordan to possess the rest of the land of Canaan, the tribe of Gad were going to have to go over and fight with the rest of the tribes of Israel so that they would come into their inheritance as well. So it's that business of warfare. And with regards to God, then, he says in that verse that God dwelleth as a lion. And with regards to Dan, he says, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. So those two tribes have fitted in to the whole business of Israel's ongoing warfare and God's sufficiency to them in all of that ongoing warfare, where they will enter the land of Canaan, and then where they will exist in the land of Canaan for the time appointed. So after he has spoken about Gad and Dan, so now he comes to speak about Naphtali in verse 23 of the chapter. Well, what's the blessing that Naphtali is to enjoy and seek after under the hand of the Lord God of Israel? And in a word, it's the blessing of being satisfied and being full. Satisfied with the favour of the Lord, as it says, and full with the blessing of the Lord. So verse 23, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. The west and the south, very simply, were the geographical regions that that tribe was to inherit in the land of Canaan. But it's the other part of the blessing, the inward part of the blessing, in fact, that you might say, that should be of most concern for us today. We don't inherit geographical locations. But when he speaks about the blessing of being satisfied with the favour of the Lord and full with the blessing of the Lord, that's something, surely, that belongs to all the people of God all the days of our life for as long as we live. And it's something of that, then, that we're brought to this morning. This blessing of being satisfied. Satisfied with the favor of the Lord and full with the blessing of the Lord in every way. Now, in fact, there are two blessings set before us in the verse. You see, quite obviously, Moses is anticipating the tribe of Naphtali coming to receive the favor of the Lord in the first place, or indeed already having received the favor of the Lord. And that's a blessing. What a blessing it is to have received the favor of the Lord our God, to be put in possession of the favor of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God in every way. For all of those things are gathered up in the word favor. And no greater blessing, you would say, surely, than to be put in possession of the favor of the Lord. But you see, in a sense, there's a greater blessing than that, or an additional blessing to that, and that's the blessing of being satisfied with the favor of the Lord, and being full with that blessing of the favor of the Lord as he has granted us to be put in possession of that favor. And it's that blessing, that additional blessing, if you like, that Moses is now looking for to be outworked in this tribe of Naphtali as they enter into their possessions. The favor of the Lord is the great favor, the great blessing, the root blessing, out of which every other blessing to our souls is to spring. And here's one of the blessings that spring out of that root blessing. One of the fruits of that blessing to our hearts and our souls is that we are well satisfied with that blessing, and that we are full with that blessing of the Lord's favor given to us, to our hearts and our minds. And assuredly, my friends, that's an ongoing blessing and an ongoing issue that each and every one of us needs to come to terms with and live with all our days in this world of ours. And especially, maybe, it's become very prominent over the last few weeks and months, has it not? The business of being satisfied, and being satisfied aright in the things of the Saviour. As an issue, it's one that's brought before us on the pages of the Word of God in many, many places, in many, many different ways. And the Word of God makes it abundantly clear, of course, that there's a good sense in which we can be satisfied. There is a bad sense in which we are not to be satisfied, if you like. But there's an ultimate sense in which the whole issue of being satisfied is brought before us. In the book of Proverbs, which gathers together so many of those pertinent sayings to our hearts and our souls, you read these words: "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. And that's a good blessing and a good satisfaction, a legitimate satisfaction. The man has worked hard. He's ploughed his field. He's sown his seed. He's gathered in his harvest. He's ground his corn. He's made his bread. And now he's well satisfied with what he has done. And justifiably so. And in the light of the Word of God, he has every right to be justifiably satisfied with what he has done. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. The rest of a laboring man is sweet. And the Word of God takes all of that kind of satisfaction of heart and soul on that natural level and applies it to us. Says in another place, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty, but open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. In the normal run of things, in our daily life, there are many, many ways in which a man or a woman or a young person may find a great deal of satisfaction in what they have done and what they have been able to do, and some of the things that might have happened to us in life. There is a good satisfaction, and there is a legitimate satisfaction in every way. On the other hand, Bible makes it also very clear in numerous places where the dissatisfaction of the human heart is something that is to be condemned and something that is to be abominated. Those words of Isaiah that we repeat so often, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not?" And it's speaking there, you see, about all those things that can take up a person's heart and soul and can never ever satisfy the heart and the soul of man. Way back, you may remember, when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, and the Lord warns them that there will come a day, he says, when 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. How they would manage to do that, I don't know. But 10 women shall break your bread in one oven and deliver you your bread by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And there are all of those things, you see, my friends, looking for satisfaction, questing for satisfaction, and never finding it. Because it's a wrong satisfaction that is being looked for, or a wrong way in which satisfaction is being sought. And as I say, in many places, in many ways, we're cautioned about that continuously on the pages of the Word of God. The horse leech has 2 daughters, says Solomon, crying, "Give, give." That's what the human heart is like. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Did you notice something over the holiday period? The shops, of course, now open on the Lord's Day. That's just a small thing to the heart and mind of men and women. They also decided to open on Christmas Day as well, but with a bit of an addition. There's legislation so that the shops, in fact, can't open until a certain hour on the Lord's Day, or in that case, on Christmas Day. But they put forward the opening for an hour so that people could come in and browse, take their trolleys, fill up the trolleys. But then when the appointed hour of legitimacy came, they could go and buy. An amazing thing. Here's the whole day taken away from the Lord, as it were. As it stands, no, let's have another hour. Let's rob him of another hour. Give, give. That's what the human heart says when it comes to the business of seeking satisfaction for the heart. In the eyes of fallen man, as long as man acts in the fullness of that fallen nature on the face of this earth of ours, he will never find satisfaction in anything that this earth can afford him. His eyes run throughout the whole wide earth, the Bible tells us in another place, always looking for something new, always looking for something different, always looking for something else that will fill up this thing in the heart and the soul. That kind of seeking satisfaction, the Bible condemns, and rightly condemns, throughout from beginning to end. It can't be done. And the reason why it can't be done is because there is an ultimate satisfaction that has to be seen to. And until it's seen to, that no satisfaction will ever be satisfying to the heart. And it's that satisfaction, in fact, you see, that Naphtali is defined or to seek after, as the case might be, to the blessing of the souls of the men and women of that tribe. God has given them his favor. What are they to do in the light of that? Be satisfied with the favor of the Lord. Be blessed with the fullness of the favor of the Lord. And once that becomes the foundation, the root, you see, then what a vast difference it makes with regards to being satisfied in all things as we live out our life in this world. We'll never do it perfectly. We're not like that. We've still got the old Adamic nature within us, always rising up, always like the horse Leech's two daughters, give, give. But as the children of God, we are to learn to deal with those things. And the great thing that's given to us to enable us to deal with those things is that we have been made recipients of the favour of God and the grace of God. And to be satisfied with that is the foundation stone of being satisfied throughout. You know the words of Augustine, and I don't suppose there are better words coming from the pens of men, with regards to the whole issue of man and woman in his heart, in their hearts and souls. In one of his prayers he says, O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. True satisfaction of soul is found only in God and in the grace of God that is granted in the gospel. And the way a man or a woman or a young person finds satisfaction of God is when they find in God and in his Christ the great thing that they need. And the great thing that they need, my friends, is not this or that or the next thing, or a bigger or a better this or that or the next thing. The thing that they need is a Saviour for their soul. And what they need is to see that they need a Saviour for their soul. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ goes without saying, always faithful in his ministry to the hearts and souls of men and women, made that abundantly clear in so many ways. And you know many of his words. And as he preached that great Sermon on the Mount, you remember, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Now he's not saying that we shouldn't have meat or clothing or things to put on or things to have pleasure in. He's not saying anything like that whatsoever. But what he is saying is this, my friend. This is not your life. Your life consists in more than these things. And our Lord Jesus Christ is pointing men and women up to their life and that which their life consists in. Not in the things that we possess, not in the things that we have, in what we are. That's what he's saying. And isn't it a sad business when he could stand before people in his day and say, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Telling them what they need, telling them where they can find that life. But they see no need for the life in Christ and try to satisfy themselves in the things of life. And our Lord, well, that very passage that we've been reading from recently in the Gospel of John, and the feeding of the 5,000, you remember, and the disciples, they're nonplussed. Well, 500 penny worth of bread isn't going to feed this or satisfy this multitude. Christ satisfies the need of their bodies. And they clamber after him, not for their real need, but for more things for their body. You seek me. You seek me, he says. Not for the right reason. Labour not for the meat that perishes, but that which endures unto everlasting life. And his apostles were like that. Paul was like that when he went up to Mars Hill. And they all wanted to hear him. Why did they want to hear him? Because he was a stranger. And he was going to tell them some new thing. He was going to satisfy their ears with some new thing. And blessed be the Lord, he told them an old thing. He spoke about Jesus and the resurrection. Because that's what they needed to hear. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. What did that matter? He preached what they needed to hear. And what they needed to hear was Jesus Christ, who had come to die in order that we might have life and find all our life in him. And always understand, my friends, what the word is dealing with when it comes to this issue of being satisfied, not satisfied, satisfaction, dissatisfaction. It's dealing with one of those congenital conditions that we inherit from our first parents, Adam and Eve. You remember how much God had given to them in the Garden of Eden? And things were fine. Until the old serpent, the devil, sidled up to our first mother, Eve, and he sowed the seeds of dissatisfaction. God had given her all the trees in the garden to eat. Ah, but he says, what about that tree over there in the midst of the garden? And you see, he or she and Adam and Eve should have been abundantly satisfied with what the Lord had given. Of all the trees you may eat, over all the beasts of the field, you shall have dominion. But there came up the horse leech in Eve's heart and soul, saying, give, give. And there passed into the bloodstream of fallen human nature that virus that is with us to this very day. You see, my friends, whatever you do, don't get away from Genesis chapter 3. Because Genesis chapter 3 tells you the source of every condition that affects our heart and our mind. Why do you think so-called liberal Christianity wants to turn the first few chapters of Genesis into myth? Myth isn't going to tell you anything. But the truth of God's word in that blessed chapter traces the source of all our fallen ills. And when the devil dealt with Eve in the way that he did, he was sowing into her heart and her soul dissatisfaction with the things that God had given, and looking for satisfaction in that which God had prohibited. Those words of Isaiah again, wherefore spend ye money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or if you want a more positive side, and surely we need that, those words that we sang out of the Psalms of David, we surely shall be satisfied with thy abundant grace. And you see, what Moses is praying as a blessing on the tribe of Naphtali is that they might enjoy God's abundant grace. They've been made the recipients of the favour of God. Great blessing. But there's a blessing that stems out from that on a practical level, relevant blessing for each and every one of us who have received the blessing of God, the favour of God. And that is to be satisfied with such a blessing and such a thing given to us. Well, a few words of application or exhortation, whatever the case might be, to each and every one of us in the light of Naphtali's blessing. And as I say, there are two sides, or as I've said before, there are always two sides to the blessings that you read about on the pages of God's Word. There are those blessings which are conditional, and there are those blessings which are unconditional. Those blessings which God bestows unconditionally. He says that a certain thing will be done, and it's done. doesn't make any reference to man or to anything else, but in his sovereign will and purpose, he undertakes to do certain things or bestow certain things, and it is done. It is absolutely, completely unconditional. But there are other things, blessings, which are conditional. Blessings that are entered into are enjoyed in accordance with the terms that God lays down for the enjoyment of those blessings in our lives. And in these words that Moses now pronounces over the heads of the tribes of Naphtali, once again, as in other places, you have the unconditional side and you have the conditional side, the two sides of the business of blessing. Very simply, as I said at the beginning, for Naphtali to be satisfied with the favour of God and full with the favour of God, it was to receive or had received the favour of God. And the favour of God is unconditional. The mercy of God, the grace of God, all of these things are unconditional. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. O Naphtali, satisfied with favour. But to be satisfied with favour, then the Lord gives that favour without money and without price. But the enjoyment of that favour, my friends, the favour of the grace of God, is to be well satisfied with that favour and with that grace. And that was down to the tribe. That was the blessing that had the conditional side to it. The giving of the favour, the granting of the favour, that came from God, the enjoyment of the favour, that was down to them. And the way they would enjoy that favour of God was by being well satisfied with the favour of God. And as I say, once we establish our hearts and our souls on such a satisfaction as that, it amazes you how much it permits you to be satisfied with the many things that come upon us in life. In the word favour, you have all of the gathering together of terms like mercy and grace and loving kindness. In fact, it's the self-same word as Moses has used when he's spoken to the tribes of Joseph about the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Remember how he said that? The goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Same word. The goodwill, the favour. And that goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, well, it's absolutely sovereign. He came and spoke out of the burning bush and he said to Moses, I've heard the cry of my people and I'm come down to redeem them. It was absolutely conditioned. God had granted his favour, his goodwill, his grace towards them. But the way that we enter into the blessings of that is being satisfied with it and settling our hearts and our souls on that and from that. On many, many things that come upon us in life. If you take that word out of the book of Proverbs that we simply cited earlier on, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty, but open thine eyes and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Open thine eyes and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now, speaking on a natural level, and he's saying, in fact, waken up. Don't lie in your bed. That's what he's saying. Waken up. Open your eyes. Get on with your business, what you're to get on with. But as in so many other things, on the pages of God's word, where you have many of those natural directives that are given to us, they come into their spiritual fullness when you read them in a spiritual sense. And if you take that word then in relation to the favour of God granted to us, if we're believers this morning, and the grace of God, and the loving kindness of God, and the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. And if you turn that directive spiritually, what a meaningful directive it is. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied. You see? Open your eyes. Are you not blessed? God has saved you from hell. I think we've forgotten that. That the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, is to save us from an eternal burning. We'll stop preaching that when God comes down and tears up the Bible. But until such a ridiculous thing would ever happen, we have been saved from hell. Open your eyes and see that. And if you have received the favor of God, then be satisfied, and you shall be satisfied. Like David the psalmist, very often we have to pray, Lord, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy truth. And once we begin to open up our eyes, my friends, in the way that we should, to the mercy and the grace and the love and the loving kindness of God, then, as I've said, we are laying the foundation aright for our being well satisfied in all the issues of life that come in upon us. Those other words of the psalmist again, we surely shall be satisfied with thy abundant grace. Surely, surely, he says. Surely we shall be satisfied when we learn to see thine abundant grace and thy mercy and thy loving kindness. You remember how Paul in that great Romans 8 lays down out all the mercy and grace of God towards us. God's electing love and his calling and justifying office freely and bringing us to glory at last. And then he poses his question. What shall we then say to these things? What will we say? I'm not satisfied. Shall we say that? Indeed, no, my friends. We should be able to say, well satisfied. Surely, surely, we are well satisfied with thine abundant grace. Naphtali was to receive or had received the favour of the Lord, but he was to enjoy that favour of the Lord, that great blessing of having received the favour of the Lord. And the way he would enjoy that blessing of having received the favour of the Lord would be by being well satisfied. And that's an additional blessing. And the blessing that belongs to receiving the favour of the Lord. And that's something that we need to know at the outset, all the days of our life, and until we come to heaven at last. When we began to look at the Song of Moses, you may remember in chapter 32, we referred to the fact that Moses then didn't only preach sermons, he wrote songs as well. And not only did he preach sermons and write songs, he lifted up his soul in prayer before the Lord. And Moses' great prayer is Psalm number 19. We had something of that a few weeks ago at the prayer meeting. You remember how he acknowledges, thou hast been our dwelling place from all generations. And he exhorts us to apply our hearts on to wisdom. But it's not really until you get near the end of the prayer that he actually begins to pray. And that's so typical, or at least begins to petition, so typical of the prayers of the Psalms of the Word of God. All the time that is spent in glorifying the Lord and seeking dependence in the Lord, then come the petitions. And that's how it is with the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. And as he begins to petition, this is how he begins to petition. He says, return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. And take that word early, and not doing despite to the scriptures. Read it in whatever way you wish. Early in the morning, Lord, satisfy us with thy mercy. in the early years of our life, in the early beginnings of our Christian life, satisfy us with what? With thy mercy, with thy favor, with thy grace applied to our hearts and our souls and the purpose, then we will rejoice and be glad in thee. You see, he's looking to the mercy of God. He's saying, let that be the satisfaction of my soul, and then I will be glad and rejoice in thee. And when we come to the end of our days, my friends, as we have endeavoured to know that blessing of being well satisfied with the grace and mercy of God, then comes the culmination of all of that satisfaction at the end. And I'm sure you're way ahead in those words of David. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I don't think it's wrong to think that that's David's Old Testament version of the Apostle John's New Testament word when he says that when we shall see Christ, then we shall be like him. So he says, when I behold thy face in righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake. It's the resurrection. When I awake with thy likeness. It's a great blessing, my friends, the blessing of being satisfied in a dissatisfied world. Those are the kind of things that Paul means that we'll come to shortly when he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of the mind comes through every part of this world that he has granted us to have. And if Naphtali will receive the blessing of the favour of the Lord, and what a blessing, then it will enjoy that blessing of the Lord by being satisfied with it and full with that blessing all their days. And as with them, so with us for all our days. Amen.